Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've been spending some time reading from Marcus Thompson, an insider with the Golden State Warriors. Now, he writes for The Athletic. We've had him on the show before. And he's got some explosive details about what's happened with this whole Draymond Green, Kevin Durant situation, and how this could be a wedge that drives the team apart. It's really interesting. You can find the link on Twitter. I didn't retweet it, but it's out there. And Marcus Thompson, who knows the team well, gives you a little background about how and why it got this bad with Draymond Green, with Kevin Durant, and also that there is a bit of a fraction in the locker room because Kevin Durant hasn't just come out and said, I'm happy with the Warriors, I love my teammates, I'm staying here. Here's something else that I read on Thompson's Athletic website, that there's actually a growing belief that KD is not going to return next season. And so you've got a bunch of this brewing under the surface. And then when KD and Dre got into it at the end of regulation on Monday night, when Dre didn't pass Kevin Durant the ball, it just exploded. But some of the things that Draymond got suspended for, primarily the language that he used and what he said to Kevin Durant, the Warriors believed it crossed the line. And Thompson's got the inside scoop. I would encourage you to read it. And after you, I don't want to steal his thunder. After you have some time to read it, I want you to hear from Andre Iguodala again. Steve Kerr was also speaking about the situation. And Kevin Durant, too, if you haven't heard it. And so this is not a situation that is dead and buried. It's not been taken care of. KD says he and Draymond have not spoken, though Steph Curry did go to Draymond's house on Tuesday to try to get Dre's side of the story. So Steph is playing peacemaker, but this is not over. Again, it's Marcus Thompson, who is writing for The Athletic now, who's got some pretty incredible details about what happened in that locker room after the Clippers game on Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Every time I see the video, you know, the part that almost makes me laugh is that as they're sitting on the bench getting ready for overtime, you've got Dre and KD on either side of Klay Thompson. And they're jawing at each other and Klay sitting in the middle. It's kind of looking down. You ever been caught in the middle of one of those family fights, family discussions, or maybe two of your friends are going at it and you just, you wish that the floor would open up and you would sink into a big hole, but there's no place to go. And in this particular case, there's a television camera trained on them. Pretty crazy. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Also After Hours CBS on Twitter. Need your questions for Ask Amy Anything half hour from now. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I know a lot of you are lined up on the phones, and I absolutely want to take some calls. We've got everything from the Draymond suspension to the Jimmy Butler trade to Philadelphia to the Le'Veon Bell decision now officially to forego the entire 2018 season to the NFL moving its game out of Mexico City on Monday night, which I applaud. Marvin Lewis hiring Hugh Jackson, and we haven't even gotten to college football yet. We will. But it's the first time in history there have been no changes in the top 10 from one set of standings to the next. Also, I promised I'd tell you how I'm reinventing myself this holiday season. I'm such a weirdo. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Sean, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm calling in this morning about this Le'Veon Bell debacle. I live here in Pittsburgh, and yesterday all the local news stations had their cameras set up watching the training facility, waiting for him to show up. And everybody knew that he wasn't going to show up. I think a big part of that...
They're not doing their job if they're not there, just in case it happens.
Right, right. And with Le'Veon, I agree, but at the same time, I disagree with the way this was handled. Man, you got to meet in the middle. You know, you're a star. You know, you're supposed to be the backbone of this team, but you held out thinking that they were going to come running desperate to you when my man James Conner stepped up, and he had stepped up in a big way. And with his injury, well, not with the injury, the concussion that he suffered last week, they say he's going to be clear this week, but that's off topic. Back to Le'Veon Bell with Dez Bryant as a prime example. He held out. He got that contract.
No, he didn't hold out.
First,
he didn't hold out.
He didn't sign.
He didn't have a deal.
He didn't sign. Yeah, he didn't sign. He had other offers prior to the season. He won, and I agree. You know, I would want to be the same way. I would want to play for a contender. And he got with one of the top contenders in the NFC in his first day of practice. He tore his Achilles. Now he's going to be sitting out for at least a year. And he may not be the same, you know, with the Achilles and the position. You know, the defensive guys tear their Achilles. They usually don't come back quite the way they were prior, like Terrell Suggs, prime example.
Okay, so back to Bell. Sorry, just to keep you on
back
your topic.
To Bell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. I'm all over. But I'm a sports junkie. And with the Le'Veon Bell thing, I kind of see with that, you know, I feel as he did the right thing for himself, but I think he was being a lot of selfish. And it's over a couple $100,000 when they're offering you $14 million. Yeah, I don't think any running back should get quarterback money.
Yeah, I think that there certainly is a consensus around the NFL that running backs are a position in which they're more interchangeable. I'm not saying there aren't special ones. Certainly Todd Gurley is special. The guy scored in every game this year. Certainly Melvin Gordon is special. And Le'Veon Bell is a game changer, no doubt. But as the Steelers have proven, and they were forced into this position by Bell. This is his fault. But as they've proven, they are more easily replaceable. And there's no such thing as irreplaceable. Not at that position, not anywhere really in sports. And they forced the Steelers. He forced the Steelers into auditioning James Conner. And good for them, Conner has turned out to be everything they hoped and more.
Yes. And his backstory is just phenomenal. And like you said, you know, no player is irreplaceable, or any player is replaceable. And the New England Patriots are a prime example of that. You know, next man up. The Philadelphia Eagles were the same way last year. Carson Wentz went down. Nick Foles steps up, and he led them to a Super Bowl. And
I am
a Patriots fan. I live in Pittsburgh, but I have been a Patriots fan my entire life. And you know, it's amazing to see, you know, some of these guys, you know, that you never hear of, that, you know, they come up and they end up with a household name. Wes Welker for the longest time, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman. You know, these are guys that we gave up late round draft picks for
and turned around
and got a lot of production out of these guys.
All right. Good point, Sean. I appreciate you calling from Pittsburgh. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Alan, who's also in Pittsburgh. Alan, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, you have a great show.
Thank you.
I have a question about Le'Veon Bell, but that guy answered most of my questions. But do you see any team paying Le'Veon Bell the kind of money he wants? I just can't see it.
Well, there probably will be teams that overbid. For instance, the Jets have a ton of room under their salary cap. The Oakland Raiders will have a ton of room under their salary cap. But I feel like this year has done damage to his reputation, not helped. For instance, the Eagles were originally inquiring about potentially trading for him, and the Steelers were hoping that they would call back before the deadline, but they didn't. I feel like what has happened with the Steelers in that James Conner has stepped in so capably, and he's on his rookie contract second year, that underscores the point that you don't need to overpay a running back. I know Le'Veon Bell is special. He's extremely versatile. The year, was it 2016, when he averaged like 157 yards per game from the line of scrimmage? I mean, he's phenomenal. He's an amazing player. But the Steelers, once they righted the ship, they look like they could still be an AFC North champ, a first-round bye in the AFC, a very dangerous contender. And they've done it without him. So that obviously gives fuel to the rest of the NFL teams that they can point to his agent and say, hey, look what the Steelers did without him. He wasn't as irreplaceable or indispensable as he thought he was.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, sir. Good to talk to you in Pittsburgh. Let's talk to James, who's in Memphis. James, welcome to After Hours.
Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, you're doing well. Yeah, you're doing well on this one. I was saying, I'm from New Orleans, but I'm living in Tennessee these last 10 years. But I go around the world traveling. New Orleans Saints will be in the playoff. And they will win, and they will be in everything, and they will win the Super Bowl, New Orleans. That's a prediction way ahead of time, but New Orleans Saints will win the Super Bowl.
Okay. I appreciate that prediction. Anything else? Is that it?
9 out of 10 predictions I make come true. 9 out of 10. That's including baseball, boxing, and everywhere.
How long have you been keeping track?
Since 1962, when Sonny Liston won the championship for Floyd Patterson.
So going back to 1962, 90% of your predictions come true.
Yes, right, 90%.
And who can corroborate that number?
Yeah, I don't know. But Howard Cosell, he was my favorite announcer. Mm-hmm. Howard Cosell died in 1995 when Tyson got out of jail. Howard Cosell, he was one of the greatest announcers I ever heard. And
can he corroborate your 90% record?
Yeah, I predict sometimes better than him. I guess it's spiritually divine, I guess, God giving a prediction.
Oh, it's spiritually divine that you guess correctly 90% of the time?
Oh, yeah, I think it's spiritually. The other 10% is when I just do it on my own, not really listening to God.
Oh. Do you ask God first?
Well, it seemed like something be revealed to me in a like a vision, like, you know, I could see things happening, you know, to Drew Brees and all those boxers, baseball, Roger Maris and all that. It something comes to me and I give the prediction, you know.
And who do you share the predictions with?
Well, on the radio, I did a different radios. I stayed in New Orleans. I'm from New Orleans, but I stayed there 26 years, and I go in and out. And Los Angeles, I stayed 29 years. A prediction go with any. I'm a former boxer too. But I gave up boxing to preach the gospel. So I go around the world and spread the gospel and make predictions in sports too.
I mean, it sounds like you've got quite a talent, James.
Yeah, I'm 73 years old. I made mm-hmm. that 3 weeks ago. Not quite 3 weeks. I made 73 years old.
Well, now, happy late birthday to you.
Yeah, so I'm 73 years old, but I feel 26. I feel 26 years old.
Mentally or physically?
Physically and mentally.
Oh, I don't think I'd want to go back to 26 mentally. I was kind of dumb at 26, but
yeah, I just remember some things. Oh, I mean, but by 26, I feel it great. I don't take no medicine, no aspirin, no pills, no nothing, no prescription.
I'm so glad, sir. Thank you so much for your phone call. I'm sorry I have to let you go because we need to take our commercial break, but it's very enlightening to talk to you.
God bless you. You continue up the good work.
Thank you, James. Listening in Memphis, but a New Orleans native, and he just knows that the Saints will be winning the Super Bowl. I mean, based on his track record, you might want to take his advice and go with that prediction. 90%, going back to, shoot, I forgot, what did he say, 1962? I mean, that's an impressive track record.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
I do love our calls. All right, 855-212-4227. What else? Oh, I want you to hear a little bit about, from the college football playoff committee chair, for those of you who are really engaged. Also, Nick Saban makes me laugh. And even when he doesn't make me laugh, he does provide some information in his press conferences. So in case you're wondering about the health of his quarterbacks, we have the answers on Twitter, After Hours CBS, because that is where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything and also vote for TD of the Week. And I don't know if you saw this or not, Chris, but on both Facebook and Twitter, Ron has sent us the Spanish call of the Nick Chubb touchdown. It might be worth playing just for kicks and giggles.
Oh, let's wait till Ask Amy Anything. We may have a surprise or two in store.
I love surprises! That's not actually true. It depends. If it's a surprise for my birthday, I love it. If it's a surprise for Christmas, I love it. I don't like being surprised when I'm not fully prepared. I'm a bit of a control freak, so sometimes that gets in my way. Anyway, questions on either Facebook or Twitter, all that, baby. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Got it down to the 15-yard line. Two wides now to the right, one to the left is Waddle. Faking the give to Jacobs. Now they throw it to Josh. Left side, he's got it. He's open. He's taking it in for a touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Eli Gold on the Alabama Crimson Tide Radio Network. Back-to-back shutouts for the number one team in the country inside their conference. Yowzers. And it's not just Alabama who took care of business. Week 11 in college football, so they're a week ahead of what we are, the schedule we're on in the NFL. And so with that in mind, the fact that there were no upsets, the college football playoff committee didn't change anything. For the first time in the history of the college football playoff rankings, the top 10 remained exactly the same. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, your top four. Only Michigan has a loss among those four. Georgia 5, Oklahoma 6, LSU 7, even with the two losses. Washington State, West Virginia, Ohio State. So the top 10 remained exactly the same. Kentucky plummeted all the way down to 17, and everybody else above that between 16 and 10 bumped up a spot. So not super exciting. I need some drama and some chaos to spice up my college football season before we get to the actual run of bowls. But so far, no dice. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Rob Mullins is the committee chair for the college football playoff rankings. And he tells us what pretty much everybody can see with their own two eyeballs.
Alabama's a very strong team. And when you watch them, you see it. But then when you look at the metrics, top 10 offense, a top 10 defense. And so it is a well-rounded team. I'm sure there's, some opportunities for them to improve. But right now, they're pretty strong.
I want to say duh, but I feel like some people will misinterpret that as disrespectful. No, just duh. Yes, we're all on board with that. Rob Mullins on the College Football Playoff Facebook page. Now, I guess you could look at the one-loss teams and try to find some drama there. For instance, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, Washington State, West Virginia, Ohio State. Those are your one-loss teams. Oh, by the way, UCF at 9-0 moved up to number 11, which is cool because of the Kentucky drop. Everybody moved up, like I said. So the Knights are up to number 11. But the one-loss teams, which right now doesn't matter outside of the top three because they're all still undefeated, But depending on what happens the rest of the way, let's say Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship, does that give Georgia enough to leapfrog Michigan into the top four? And I know all things would have to remain equal, so these things don't happen in a vacuum. But how much do the one-loss teams have separation between them?
We look at complete resumes. So, you don't necessarily narrow it down, but that's a piece of it. And obviously, you know, the committee watches the games, the wins and the losses. So, obviously, we're very aware of Ohio State's loss to Purdue. And then when you look at what Washington State's close loss at USC. But, you know, for us, it's not just about narrowing it down to the losses. It's about looking at the total body of work, making sure we watch the games and observe everything that allows us to come in and have a thorough debate.
Fine, a thorough debate, but there's not a whole lot new to debate when nothing changes in the top 10. That's Rob Mullins again, and you've got the college football playoff standings that come out every Tuesday until we get past the conference championships, in which case we'll know for sure which four teams will be competing come, is it all in January? I don't even know what dates the national semifinals are this year. I know they moved them off of their New Year's Eve on a couple of different years, but it wasn't every year. And so I don't know, just we'll get there when we get there. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's take a quick call from Ray in DC. Ray, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
How you doing today, Amy?
Good.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to address the Le'Veon Bell situation. I wanted to be one of the few people that actually take the side of Le'Veon Bell. For once in a very rarely do we see players stand up for themselves, especially in the NFL. I remember Warren Sapp used to call it the shield. You know, that's who's over everybody. Le'Veon Bell might be a bad person to look at from a team standpoint, but, yeah, this is a team sport, but you play it individually, meaning you have to look out for yourself. So he'll get his $30 or $40 million guaranteed. And don't get it twisted. The Steelers won't win the Super Bowl this year. So I'll side with Le'Veon Bell.
Ray, you don't actually know that. Okay, no more than James, who called from Memphis, knows that the Saints will win the Super Bowl. You don't know that the Steelers won't. So I'm with you up until then, but you can't make that prediction. As for Bell, while he would like to have $30 to $40 million in guaranteed money, why would he, after sitting out a year, get $10 million more in guarantees than Todd Gurley just got? Gurley just got a contract with, I think it's just over $21 million guaranteed. Why would a team go out there and give Bell another $10 million or $20 million on top of that when Gurley is the guy who scored a touchdown in every game and is playing this year?
Gurley is playing with one of the highly respected offensive geniuses. If six of the best running backs in the league can do what Todd Gurley is doing for the Rams, Le'Veon Bell is exceptional. Todd Gurley is great, but don't get it twisted.
I'm not twisting anything. I just told you that he's making $21 million in guarantee with his new contract. You haven't told me why Bell would get an extra $20 million on top of that. Why would Bell get double what Todd Gurley's getting in guaranteed money? He's not twice as good, I'll tell you that for sure.
He'll play at least 3 to 5 more years in the NFL. He'll make at least $30 million in the next 3 to 5 years. Watch. And yes, I know and you know the Steelers have no chance of winning the championship this year.
Do you think they might make the playoffs? Do you think that Le'Veon Bell is worth more than $14 million a year?
I think Le'Veon Bell said, if I play one, Bell playing with an organization that tells you, I don't care about your career. They used Le'Veon Bell, and for the first time, like I said, a player is standing up for himself.
Isn't that his job? Isn't his job to play football?
His job is to do what's best for himself and his family, and that's what he chose to do.
Well, sitting out and leaving $14.5 million on the table and proving to the NFL that you're not as irreplaceable as you think you are doesn't actually increase his earnings power, man.
Irreplaceable. Don't get it. Now, I love James Conner. I love the fact that he bounced back from the University of Pittsburgh. I love that. But he's no Le'Veon Bell.
Like I didn't I say said, he was, but Le'Veon Bell is not irreplaceable, nor is he indispensable.
He's irreplaceable. Tom Brady is not irreplaceable.
I know. You're making my point for me, Ray. Le'Veon Bell's whole idea was to sit out and watch the Steelers suffer without him while keeping some of the pounding off of his body. Except that now the Steelers have aptly filled that hole, and he didn't even want to go back to be a platoon at running back, because that takes away from his earnings power too. He got caught in a web. He took a gamble, very high risk gamble, and it did not pay off. And I do not agree with you that some team out there is going to give him $30 to $40 million guaranteed after he just skipped a year in the prime of his career. That's not reality. He's a running back. That is reality. He's extremely good. He's one of the best that the NFL has got right now, but he just chose himself, and the gamble didn't pay off because the Steelers are better off.
No, you don't know this. I just told you, the Steelers will not win a Super Bowl.
There's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that. Even if they don't win a Super Bowl, they just found themselves a running back who's willing to do anything they ask and whose production has been, 75-80% of Le'Veon Bell, and he's a rookie, which means he's making rookie money. That's a win for the Steelers. Not to mention they've won 5 consecutive games and they're on top of their division.
Consecutive games in January when it really counts.
Okay.
The regular season is fine. Don't get it wrong. But
you're
like
gambling.
Said,
you don't know that the Steelers would have won a Super Bowl with Le'Veon Bell either. He doesn't give you that much of an edge over what James Conner has done that you could. So I feel like you're trying to tell me if Le'Veon Bell was with the Steelers, they would win a Super Bowl.
No, I'm telling you that they have a far better chance of winning a Super Bowl.
Well, just like he chose to stay away.
The Patriots have a better chance of winning with Rob Gronkowski healthy in 2018.
It was Le'Veon Bell's choice to stay away, and you're saying that you support him in that.
Say it again?
It was Le'Veon's choice to stay away, despite the fact that the Steelers could win a Super Bowl.
He chose to choose himself. The Steelers chose the organization over Le'Veon Bell,
as they should. That's their choice. They have to do what's best for the entire organization, not just one guy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I know I wasn't here last night, but this is still the Hump Show, and it's still Ask Amy Anything, and I did manage to stay away from the questions. I'm rather proud of myself. Producer Chris has sifted through them. I am assuming he is armed and dangerous. But you know what happens when you assume. Thanks so much for your calls. We'll get back to them. Thanks, as always, for sending your questions to Twitter and Facebook. And thanks for tuning in After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Chris?
All right. Let's start with Craig, who says, from a fellow New Englander, he's from Vermont.
Do you have a cold?
I do. It's coming through?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It's a little bit nasally.
That's all right. I could always make it sound a little bit worse, too.
Plus, the voice god is attempting to drown you out.
Yes, he is.
What's happening with the voice god right now?
I'm not sure, but okay. We will ask the question anyway. He wants to know, who are your favorite athletes of all time from each Boston team?
Okay. I'm not going to be distracted. Let's see. Larry Bird is my all-time favorite athlete of any team in any sport ever. So that's the answer for the Celtics. For the Red Sox, it's Pedro Martinez. It was, when I was younger, Roger Clemens, but that changed. So Pedro Martinez, my all-time favorite pitcher, happens to come from the Red Sox. For the Bruins, it would have to be Joe Thornton. And when he got blindsided and traded to the San Jose Sharks, I shifted and became a Sharks fan. And I wasn't really into hockey before that. I would watch it. I would cover it as a member of the media, but I wasn't a diehard. But Joe Thornton is the reason why I love hockey as much as I do, and he is my favorite player. So he started with the Bruins, obviously, and then got traded to San Jose. So I would say Joe Thornton. As for the Patriots, oh dear. I really liked Mike Vrabel, who's now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But I'll go with Steve Grogan. Steve Grogan, because when I was a kid and we and I was growing up in New Hampshire, we would go to empty stadiums. I mean, we would go to the old Foxborough and empty stadiums. And I remember being there one particularly brutally cold day. The stadium was nearly empty. The Patriots were terrible. And there was this huge drunk guy who was sitting about four rows behind my family. And the entire game, all he kept screaming was, "We want Grogan! We want Grogan!" I don't even remember who the starting quarterback was. I just remember that memory from my childhood. So I didn't grow up a Patriots fan. I've been a Broncos fan since I was 13. However, I'll say Steve Grogan just because he was kind of the bridge with those really terrible years. Grogan was everybody's favorite player.
Life before Brady, huh? Not so pretty.
Oh, well, what about Drew Bledsoe? Come on.
That's true. All right, well, we'll move on anyway. Cody wants to know, what is your favorite video game console or video game that you've ever played?
What's a video game console? You mean like the...
Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, like the actual system itself.
No, I don't have any of those. I'm not a video gamer. I'm not a gamer. My brother loves that kind of stuff, and one of my nieces does too, but that's just not... I spend too much time having to sit in front of a TV computer screen anyway, so it's not my way of relaxing. I have my best friend has two young sons who love Fortnite, so every now and then I'll watch them play it. And my niece loves to build things, so she likes the games where you are building towns or communities, farms. There's some Farmville, maybe. She really enjoys that. My favorite game when I was growing up was Burger Time. Burger Time and Frogger were my two favorites. And we played Ms. Pac-Man a lot. This is back when we had an old Commodore 64, so I get it. That's not your favorite game console. But those are the games that I played when I was a kid. And that's really it. Burger Time is my favorite throwback, my favorite video game that I played when I was younger. And if I had a Burger Time, like on my phone, or I could download Burger Time on my computer now, Luxor is one that my mom and I like to play, so we do that on the computer every now and then. But yeah, I'm not a gamer. Sorry, to disappoint you.
Frogger counts. That's
there
a great
went
game.
My Q status just went wah wah wah. But I've told you before, I'm not hip, not even close. So if you're looking for hip answers, that's not me.
No, I think a nice little history lesson there suffice plenty.
Okay, cool.
So Greg wants
history
to know.
History lesson.
What does Saturday or Sunday look like for you? How do you keep up with all the games?
Did he really ask me what Sunday looks like for me?
He wants to know.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. Finish your question.
How do you keep up with all the games, and how do you decide which ones to pay the most attention to?
Well, storylines dictate. I don't dictate. Storylines do. So, obviously, you're talking about big-time streaks, major accomplishments, games that go down to the wire, games between first-place teams or contenders. I mean, I don't pick the storylines. The NFL decides if we're talking about Sundays. And it's kind of interesting that he would ask me what my Sundays look like, because I feel like my Sundays look like pretty much everybody else's Sundays. I watch games all day long. How do I follow them? Well, I watch them. And so the workday starts on Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and it runs all the way through Sunday Night Football and then into our show. And I have a laptop, I have a radio, I have a TV. I can go back and forth between the games, but also I catch a lot of them online, too. And so... that's the job. I take notes all day Sunday. As for Saturdays, I will watch the big college football matchups. I do not watch every college football matchup. It's impossible, and I have to take one day away from sports if I can possibly get it. Usually Fridays are a sports-free zone. I hang out with friends. I watch movies. I do stuff that has nothing to do with sports because my brain needs a break. Although now I've started doing Columbia women's basketball, which means that I'm doing basketball games sometimes on Friday. So I try to take time away on Saturday, and Sundays are right back to work.
So as you teased so well earlier, Ron has written in and asked if you've heard the Spanish call of the Nick Chubb run. He suggests that we check it out, and we just so happen to have a little something for you.
Mayfield detrás de centro. Va a venir la entrega para el novato. Corre por el centro. Hay un hueco. Está en la 20. Nick Chubb todavía de pie. 30. Nick Chubb. 25. 40. 50. Nick Chubb. ¡Hasta la vista, baby! ¡Nick Chubb! ¡Touchdown! ¡Sí, señor! El novato con la corrida más larga de la temporada. Tremendo hueco por la derecha. Y le dice adiós a los Falcons. y los Browns de Cleveland toman ventaja 27-10 en este tercer cuarto. ¡Qué barbaridad de novato, Dios mío!
Awesome. Love it.
Did we get a translation?
I mean, you know exactly what happened. I don't have to translate that. Do we need a credit for that?
We can credit the Browns Radio Network for that.
Okay, cool. Was there a question in there somewhere or no?
No, he just wanted to know if we heard it, and now that we have. Reaction?
Thank you. No, it's awesome. Absolutely love it.
Does that beat the Panthers one from earlier this year, the Graham Gano, Gano La Gano?
No, absolutely not.
That one might be on the Mount Rushmore.
Chubba Wubba! I don't think you can beat the Jim Donovan of that particular Chubb play, but the call en español, perfecto, fantástico. Increíble.
The hasta la vista, baby, in the middle was a nice touch. That part I did understand.
Adios, pelota.
So Brian wants to know, you have one play to win the Super Bowl. You need a touchdown. First and goal from the 5. Which quarterback and which receiver combo would you take?
I would be handing the ball off, no?
No, you're the GM constructing this team.
Right now, Drew Brees to Michael Thomas, baby. I don't know that you need much more, but I wouldn't stray far from Matt Ryan or Julio Jones either. I mean, I would take that combo as well. Maybe we'll see if Tom Brady and Josh Gordon or Tom Brady and Gronk. Gronk and Tom Brady are proven, but maybe Brady to Gordon might be an option as well. But I think the closest thing to automatic we have in the league right now is Brees to Thomas. I mean, what are they connecting on 90% of their pass plays? And Drew Brees, he will throw the ball into teeny tiny windows and do it accurately where other quarterbacks would not dare to tread. And so, yeah, that combination to me seems also increíble. Increíble también.
I thought you were going to go back in time and go Elway there because he's your guy.
Oh, I didn't know we could go back in time. I thought you meant right now. You said right now.
Well, he didn't put a limit on the question, so I think we could go there.
Oh, I thought you meant. So then how about John Elway to Rod Smith? John Elway to Ed McCaffrey. People will know that name, of course. Christian's dad. Oh, gosh. So much fun. Or just John Elway running from the 5-yard line, doing the whirling dervish. Remember that from the Super Bowl against the Packers to pick up the first down? I miss John Elway. I mean, we get him still in this different capacity, but it's not the same. All right. Thanks so much for all of your tweets, A-Law Radio. A lot of you weighing in about the Joe Thornton videos I put up, about the Le'Veon Bell column. You're just telling me that you love or hate the show. That's also welcome. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.